In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I was gonna say I am going to the gym earlier, so I'm trying to like start my day earlier and like get more done.
Ugh, I mean, I see you. No, but honestly, because I just was saying the same thing to my, you know, I'm doing this show and we're rehearsing really late. And
oh,
so like, and,
really?
Yeah, and it's like 5 to 10. I mean, I know 10's not really late, but like, I'm used to like rehearsing late until like 6, you know?
But 10, because 10 o'clock does not mean you're done at 10.
Well, and that's the thing. And I'm also riled up, we're dancing and shit. So like, I don't go to bed at like midnight. I go to bed like, no, you know, have a drink. You know what I mean? So I hear you. I need to wake up earlier because this gut, girl, oof.
Listen, the summer is about to be here, and I'm trying to be thoughty. I'm trying to have the buns out. I'm trying to, you know.
Well, and you know what? We're no longer like with the bounce back of the metabolism. So like now we actually have to be strategic. Now it's like, oh, I can't do A, B, and C anymore.
Just thinking about when we were in college, like getting wasted and going to class, like still drunk, and then like going to the gym and writing a paper and
how. Well, and I do remember distinctly like going to the gym for, and this is the man of it all, for like 2 weeks and then being like, yeah, oh, my body's all tight again, and I fit back in those jeans, you know what I mean?
The fucking patriarchy. That's what it gets us.
Right. Speaking of jeans and denim, Fran, for the love of denim, do you remember like the top 5 denim companies or brands when we were growing up? And you can't say Levi's.
What? Why? That's like the denim brand. I'm not allowed to say Levi's?
Exactly. Like, you can't use, because they're too ubiquitous. I had to say it.
No, I know you did. I know you did. I know. You have a sickness.
Can't stop, won't stop.
We're about to stage an intervention, me in the class.
Like, DeLon, there are other jokes in the universe.
We are,
please use
everyone's
one.
Everyone's going to go around the room and talk about how you using ubiquitous has hurt them. Jesus. Okay. Denim brands. Okay, well, an easy one is Abercrombie.
That's a good one.
Everybody was wearing Abercrombie.
Those are holy ass ripped up jeans, yes.
Yeah, but they were wearing them.
They were selling them.
Wrangler? Did I make
that up? You better take me to Oklahoma. Oklahoma, where that you better take me.
I think Oklahoma is the only place that Wranglers were sold, I think.
And Texas, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know one person that owns a pair. If you do, class, let us know. But that one comes to mind. Calvin Klein.
Oh, duh. Calvin Klein was a huge one. Yeah. Oh my God. All those supermodels with
nothing comes between me and my Calvins.
Ooh, what a phrase. What a catchphrase. Well done, Calvin Klein.
That is a sexy.
It is.
Dangerous.
It's also saying like you're not wearing underwear, and I'm like, yo, nasty. Wait, you've gone commando before. Well, you've gone commando before.
You don't want to in a jean though. That's rubbing up on.
I mean, I've gone commando in a jean and it's a little precarious, but don't you feel sexy? I feel so fucking sexy when I'm not wearing underwear.
I don't feel sexy. I feel like, fuck, I need to do laundry. That's how I feel.
Since okay, you're rough.
That's literally and figuratively. That's three. Oh, it's so hard because like literally my brain is like Levi's.
Do you remember silver jeans?
Oh, I do, but I didn't own any of those. Oh, what about American Eagle?
American Eagle, the Abercrombie's stepsister. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's four.
That's four.
I think I'm done.
I guess every company had a jean, but like the silver was a brand that comes to mind. Gap also had, remember?
Oh,
but they were mainly cargo.
Gap jeans were a thing for a moment.
Right. But did you, I guess you went to school of the arts. I was going to say, did you even like wear jeans? Because you went to Catholic school, but school of the arts, you didn't have a uniform.
No, we didn't have uniforms at school of the arts. We did have a dress code.
Yeah.
And jeans were okay, but not excessively ripped, which.
Really?
But. Yeah, I mean, you weren't supposed to. It was one of the ones that I don't feel like it was super enforced because it's like, who cares?
I mean, what's the rationale behind that?
I don't know. It's, you know, showing too much skin or something like that.
Oh my God. They had some really dumb ass things that were dress code. So I remember like you couldn't wear a hat at all in school. I grew up in Minnesota and I was like, well, what if like it's cold outside?
Yeah.
You have to take it off in the building. Crazy.
We had a bra strap rule. Your bra strap, because if you had a tank top on, it had to be 3 fingers wide. You weren't supposed to be showing bra straps.
And they enforced that one?
They did. And I was pissed about it because I don't know. Showing bra straps was cool. And my mother wouldn't let me. She said, no, you better turn right around. You're not wearing. Because that was like the look was to have like a little spaghetti strap. And have, so then, you know, we were wearing, were y'all doing this in Minnesota? A shrug? It was just like a half sweater.
It was
a little, so that you could cover up the...
A cowl neck, as the old people like to say.
I love a cowl. Oh, give me a cowl.
Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says whether skinny, boot cut, or bell bottoms are your vibe, when it comes to denim, we're all along for the ride.
Yo, so dumb, but completely accept it.
I'm from Jessica Ramsey. I'm an actress, a producer, writer, and I'm not saying former graphic designer anymore, because I'm going back to my graphic design roots, baby. I got to pay these bills. And she's a graphic designer.
Yes, and I'm DeLon Grant. I'm an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer. And I'm going to add, I'm also a teacher and a coach because I need a motherfucking job too.
Okay, speak it, claim it, own it.
We'll be out here in 2024. Yes. And this week, class, we are talking about the ultra wide leg jean from Fran and Mai's youth, if I could say it that way, Jenko jeans. Now, when I think of Jenko, the two things that come to mind are, you know, the big ass wide leg that covered your foot so it looked like you didn't have any feet, and how dirty those motherfuckers got because they dragged on the floor and the ground.
Oh, I put a picture in the doc. This is disgusting. Jenkos were the original Roomba, and I will not explain. Further, I won't do it. There was shit. I mean, well, I will. There was shit collected all on the bottom of those jeans. What I remember is when it would rain, the bottom half of the jeans would be all wet and it would be like a brown ring.
I was gonna say in Minnesota, because of like the salt that they would put on the ground, it would be like a white salt lick around the bottom of the jeans. And also, didn't it add like 10 pounds to the jean if it was wet?
Absolutely. It absolutely did. Here's what I want to know, DeLon. Did you own Jenkos?
I did not. I let y'all do that. I let y'all have them big ass jeans because I was already trying to get into the boot. I wanted to wear flare jeans, but like, you know, you couldn't wear flares because those were for my little girlfriends. Yeah. Yeah, so Lonnie was out here in a boot cut.
Oh, I had a boot cut jean.
Did you have Jenkos? I feel like you did. You were a little bit of a skater girl. You didn't.
I didn't. I wanted to. My mother would not buy them because they were expensive.
Oh.
But she did buy me like a baggy men's jean from like TJ Maxx. And it was not the same vibe. It didn't have the silhouette of the Jenko, which was kind of like one giant bell. It almost looked like you were wearing a skirt.
Totally.
Mine just looked like I borrowed my dad's work jeans or something.
not a cargo fan, a diggy.
One thing I will say I remember is my friend Tara, she was 2 years older than me. She was in art at School of the Arts, and she was so cool. She had bright magenta hair. She was very stylish. Mm. And she would make her own flare jeans instead of buying JNCOs. So she would open the side of the jeans, and she would add like a giant panel. And I remember she had ones that had like faux fur, so the sides were all faux fur. Or she did ones that were like fake grass.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was like, honestly, like, again, in hindsight, like, in love with her. But yeah. She just was so cool. And those pants were fucking big. Like, I mean, just ginormous. That was the style.
Honestly, that seems like something you would do. Like, if your mom was like, we can't, and you would like add panels. That's totally a frame.
Yeah. Move. Well, I mean, I bought a sewing machine because of Tara. She was just always so stylish and cool. And, you know, again, I wanted to emulate that style, but I didn't have the funds. And I definitely was not cutting up jeans that my mother had purchased. I know Lorna would not have been okay with that.
You have parameters.
No, I definitely made a skirt out of ties, and I just I just bought a bunch of ties at the Goodwill, and I sewed them all together, and it was like a little.
Was it below the knee?
Yeah, I couldn't wear it to school. Definitely could not wear it to school. But I took costuming. So I was really into clothes, and I got a serger, and I was, you know, I took over our dining room with fabric and scraps of stuff, but I never wore the jeans that looked like the JNCO style, but I was into it. I thought they were very, I thought they were cool.
Well, I mean, the question is, what was under those jeans?
Hopefully feet. Right. So, class, if you are unfamiliar, in the mid-90s, JNCOs were these super wide leg jeans that all of the cool kids were wearing. Beloved by skaters, surfers, and ravers, the brand was synonymous with counterculture. At the company's peak in 1998, they boasted a whopping $186.9 million sales. Everybody was wearing those bad boys. But just 1 year later, their sales dropped by nearly 50%. And in 2001, their parent company was forced to close their massive LA factory due to declining sales.
We keep talking about these brands on this podcast. So what the hell happened? This week, we're diving into JNCO's history to find out how it went from he was a skater boy peak to discount bin chic. And then we'll do what we do best here on the pod. We will try to fix it. So let's dive in. This is JNCO's Let Me Fix It.
Okay, wait. So Dawn, you say JNCO's. I say JNCO's. Do you notice that?
I don't understand the difference between what you just said, actually.
You say it.
JNCO's.
I say JNCO's. JNCO's.
Oh, you say JNCO's.
I say JNCO's and you say JNCO's.
I say
JNCO's. You say JNCO's. I say JNCO's. You say JNCO's and we're all wearing pants.
Tomato, tomato. Ha, ha.
All right. So no matter how you say it, JNCO, JNCO's, jeans were the brainchild of Moroccan brothers Jacques and Milo Reva. Growing up in France in the 70s, Milo and Jacques credit American TV shows like Charlie's Angels and Starsky and Hutch for inspiring their love of fashion, specifically denim. It also didn't hurt that their daddy worked in denim sales, because of course he did.
Nepotism.
It's always in the family. So when the brothers immigrated to Los Angeles as adults in the 80s, they decided to get serious about fashion, and they started studying business. In 1985, they used their $200,000 worth of savings.
What? Just a random just savings.
Just $200,000, not much, to start a private label company called Revitex. Now, some things that you might notice, class, if you've been listening to this show, your parents got money. And if you got money, you can start a business. So don't be down on yourself if you have not started something yet. If you don't got no money, I'm not surprised.
That's how capitalism works, friends. That's how capitalism works. You need money just to make money.
Literally. Factoid, a private label is a branding arrangement where one company manufactures a product and then a different company brands, markets, and sells the product. So essentially, the Reva brothers were making clothes for different companies that would then slap a new label on it and then call it their own.
So Revituck was very successful, but the Reva brothers were desperate to create a brand that they could call their own. They found inspiration in East LA. So while everyone else was wearing straight leg Levi's, Latino dudes in East LA were wearing wide leg jeans hung low on their waist. Giving sexy though. It sounds very Lisa Frank to like find art in like Native American Arizona and then sell it at a markup at home, right?
Oh yeah. It's the same exact thing. It's like, let's go see what, you know, the people of color over here are doing. And not to diminish, because the Reva brothers are Moroccan, so they got a little, you know, sometimes they don't want to be called African. When I was in Morocco, they were like, no.
Egyptians don't either.
They were like, no. They were like, the Africans made this. I was like, sir, you in Africa.
Right. This is same continent.
So I looked up the brothers. They do have a little melanin to them.
Yes, I saw them
but
too.
But it is interesting that they were like, what are these brown people doing?
What's the trend? Like, what's happening? That's how fashion kind of works. So I can't blame them for it.
Yes.
But it is co-opting a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a quick factoid. While the Reva brothers were introduced to baggy jeans by Latino dudes in LA, the sagging fad stemmed from the American prison system. Because in prison, you don't get to pick what size uniform you're given. Whatever you got is what you got. It's too big? Too bad. You gotta let that booty sag. You know? Wait, that's kind of giving like a Teddy Riley, like 90s New Jack Swing.
Too
like,
big, too wide.
Gotta let that booty sag.
Yeah. I would be getting down to that in the club. I'm already jamming.
Okay. So on top of that, prisoners weren't allowed to wear belts as a suicide prevention method and to mitigate them making them into makeshift weapons. For that reason, it wasn't uncommon to see inmates with their pants sagging below their waist. As prisoners were released, wearing your trousers sagged gave them a visual toughness and street cred as well. People knew not to mess with these people because they had been to prison. And once the hip hop artists began sporting that style, a trend was born. It was born overnight. I don't know, and this is the old man in me, but I never sagged. I just don't know how like showing your raggedy ass, dirty ass boxers became like a tough thing to me. I'd be like, what is wrong with that person?
Yeah, I will say, if you're gonna sag your pants, which again, do what you gotta do, the boxers gotta be clean. You gotta.
Don't come up with no skid marks.
Like, what is going on?
Right, and if sagging is going to completely alter the way you walk, that's also like, yo, that's gonna catch up with you.
We will get into that in this episode because it is a safety hazard for your pants to be sagging. You know what I mean? Respectability politics aside, because that was a whole thing about like, pull up your pants. Blah, 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 blah.
It's a practical thing.
Do what you got. Exactly. If there's a fire, you're fine.
You are done. You are done. And don't let the jeans be close to it. You're really fucked. That's a lot of fabric, bitch.
I just hear. All right. So back to JNCOs. So the Reva brothers have this idea to bring the baggy wide leg jeans to the mainstream, but they need a hook. So they enlist the help of a local graffiti artist named Nuke to design a logo for the jeans. And after batting around a few ideas, they settle on JNCO. And I put the logo in the doc because, you know, what's so interesting is it's really hard to make out that this JNCO
looks like Arabic.
Yeah, maybe that's why they like it.
Maybe it's supposed to be.
It's scripty, it's white, it's blocky, it almost looks like does look like graffiti, but almost looks like spray paint, and then it's got a big crown on it. I mean, it does look cool.
Kinda. Like, yeah. No. No.
You don't think? I think that looks cool. I can see why that would appeal to a certain audience because it's so different. You're not seeing any other brand that looks like that.
This is true. This is true. But I guess in terms of branding, like if you can't read it, the only thing that's going to be sustainable or memorable is the crown on top of letters, right?
And they didn't always use the crown. The crown was not used all the time. The crown is also interesting because it feels very Basquiat, because Basquiat loved doing that little crown
he did.
On everything.
He did.
So it's that graffiti. I think it's cool, but you're correct. It is in impossible to even distinguish what those letters are.
Yeah.
Delon, what do you think JNCO, J-N-C-O, stands for?
I couldn't even tell you, actually. I mean, it's got to be like an acronym or something like that. But I think mm-hmm. now that we're talking about it again, I think I say Genco because mm-hmm. I think there needs to be another vowel in there because it's J-N-C-O. And
yeah, so you say Genco. I say Jinko. Jinko.
Jinko. And yeah. then the way you say it, I think there should be a Y in there. There's like a lilt.
It does kind of sound like, you know what? Just try to guess. It's an acronym of sorts.
J.C. Penney.
Okay.
Not original.
Okay. Well, those letters are out of order, but thank you for trying. J.C. Penney's not.
Oh, I'm dyslexic, girl. I'm dyslexic.
Not you get an attitude with me. I'm looking at the letters right on my damn screen.
Bitch, and my dyslexic ass is like, look, I always think I'm right. I'm like,
we're about to fight. You were like, I don't.
And there's a C in there. The shit I said even have a C.
In your defense, it turns out that your guess is as good as anyone's because the Rava brothers have never said what the acronym stands for. That's because they don't do interviews.
Okay, Beyonce.
What? Well, she doing them now.
Okay.
What is it about these mysterious CEOs? Because if y'all remember class, Lisa Frank does not want to be on camera.
She doesn't. That's right.
It's very mysterious.
It's very Lisa Frank.
It has left folks to speculate. Some have said it stands for Judge None, Choose One. Others claim it's Journey of the Chosen Ones. But others speculate it could be as simple as Jeans Company, which honestly, I hope that's it.
I hope that's the one. I hope that's the one.
Jeans Company is genius. Genius. I love it. I think it's so funny.
I love it too because Jinko, whatever it is cooler. It's way cooler. Yeah. And if it's but Jeans Company, like way to innovate.
JN, it's like Jean Company. Like, I hope that's what it means.
I hope so too. When Jinko's first hit the market in 1993, they didn't make much of a splash class. The Rava brothers managed to get them carried by this company called Merry-Go-Round, which is a popular mall chain at the time. Founded in 1960s out of Baltimore, Maryland, Merry-Go-Round started as a jean shop, but over time became the cool hangout spot for teens, which is, if you want to sell clothes, go to the cool teen hangout spot, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Merry-Go-Round grew too big, too fast, like most companies do. After losing $46 million in 1993, they filed for bankruptcy and were forced to close all 1,500 of their locations, making it one of the largest retail bankruptcies in history. May she rest.
But here is where things get interesting because Merry-Go-Round's demise ended up fueling the success of Jinko's, like a phoenix rising from the burning merry-go-round ashes. That's because when they went out of business, they had to offload all of that unsold inventory at steep markdowns, including a bunch of Jinko's. So a number of boutiques that took advantage of those markdowns turned around and started selling those Jinko's at regular prices, thus introducing them to a whole new market.
Listen, another one man's trash is another man's Jinko. Okay. Come on. So excited by the potential to expand their customer base, the Rava brothers hired Steven Sterberg, the marketing guru behind the company Bum, the equipment brand. Mm-hmm. He told the brothers if they wanted to really make a splash, they needed to corner the suburban market. And the way to do that, target the surfers and skateboarders. So he went to a huge surf trade show in Orlando, and instead of spending money to be at the convention, he set up at the hotel across the street, which is genius. He said, I'm going to save you money, and I'm going to get you some money, okay?
I think that's so smart, and it also kind of plays into like what eventually became their brand of like counterculture.
He's totally.
Like, you know, fuck the convention. I'm going to be outside across the street from the convention. Catch me outside. How about that? Like, so people are leaving and they're like, what's going on with this out here?
Yes.
It feels exclusive.
Ooh, adjacent, right? It's just adjacent to the thing.
Literally.
And in that one weekend, he managed to sell over $100,000 worth of merchandise. Go ahead, Steve.
Steve said, they said, we need Steve on the team because he knows what's going on. Anybody that can turn bum into a successful brand?
I mean, y'all have you fucked up with bum. Come on. What did it stand for? Who knows?
I don't know, but the girls were buying it.
They really
were. So soon after, JNCOs started popping up at surf and skate shops across the country, including Ron John Surf Shop, Pacific Sunwear, and Hot Topic. Now, this is notable because those stores did not carry traditional jeans like Levi's or Calvin Klein. These stores were all about going against the grain from the mainstream. So no acid wash, no tapered leg, no boot cut. Instead, it was all about JNCO's signature wide leg. Now, typical jeans have a cuff of about 16 inches with a 6-inch pockets. But by contrast, get ready for this, class, JNCOs measured anywhere from 36 inches around to a whopping 69 inches.
How many?
With, I think that was intentional. Steve, you nasty dog.
I love you, Steve. I love you, Steve.
Steve's like, this will get the kids going, 69. And then the pockets, DeLon, the pockets were 17 inches deep.
What did you have to carry in that size pocket?
Well, you could have put your 16-inch MacBook Pro in there with room to spare.
Listen, it is a practical. Listen, solutions.
If you scroll down, I don't know why the doc jumps a page, but I've got some pictures. These jeans are, in hindsight, they're crazy looking.
They are crazy looking. And you know what? Just to describe this, class, Fran has these pictures of these, like, you know, young white teens, male.
Smoking cigarettes.
Wearing these, being cool, counterculture, and have shirtless. And it just makes these scrawny boys look even scrawnier. Oh,
they are swimming in these pants.
It's so crazy. It's also really interesting, too, that, like, I wouldn't describe them as feminine, but something you said earlier about them looking like a dress.
It looks like a skirt.
It does look like a skirt, which is really interesting, right? Yeah. I just find that interesting.
The legs are so big, class, that they look as if it's one giant panel, and the shape really does have a giant bell at the bottom. So it looks like a skirt or a dress. And to your point, DeLon, it's so interesting that when these were popular, I feel like that was never a conversation. There was so much, like, you know, excessive masculinity.
Yes.
Remember when gay was a slur?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Oh, that's gay. But y'all were wearing pants that look like skirts.
The irony. Also, it's like, and these dudes are like, not, I wouldn't call them, like, I would call them adjacent to goth, like right next door to goth, because you know, Hot Topic was selling these things. I also, like, there were dudes who were like wearing eyeliner and stuff, being like, that's so gay, and I'm like, oh, is it now? Okay, yeah. Well,
I remember the ravers wearing a lot of like bracelets, like stacked bracelets and necklaces and stuff, like things that are definitely skirting with gender performance,
right?
But And like wearing spiky gel in their hair. And
glitter.
Like bleached glitter. Yeah. It's so interesting to look back on it and realize that I genuinely don't remember anybody pointing out the hypocrisy of like that rampant homophobia versus like the way these young boys were dressing was, you know, is giving David Bowie, is giving Elton John, you know?
Right. Well, it's also just like the self-expression is so important. Mm-hmm. And this, in that self-expression, hyper-masculinity or the patriarchy, as we say, like just butted heads with it, you know?
Yeah.
So back to JNCO and Steve Sturberg. As this marketing guru predicted, JNCOs took off because they tapped into that suburban market that he told them about. More specifically, the desire to rebel. In a 1998 survey by Teenage Research Unlimited, teens ranked JNCOs as the 12th coolest brand behind Nike and Tommy Hilfiger, but notably ahead of Calvin Klein and Mountain Dew.
This made me laugh so hard because Mountain Dew was really marketing itself as like the cool, like extreme sports drink. You know, you're slamming a dew.
You're slamming a dew. I remember all the time drinking Mountain Dew. But do you remember, like, there was an ingredient called like Code 9 or Red 9 or something in it?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
be
yeah.
like, oh, you won't be able to get a boner if you drink it. It was like stupid things.
Yes.
In my high school, they're like, you got to stop drinking Mountain Dew because there's this thing in it.
That's so funny. For me, it was more the fact that Mountain Dew is like green, and there's not really many green drinks. Something about the lime green of it all made it feel dangerous. I don't know.
Like a chemical?
Like a chemical. Yes, exactly. Like, you are not supposed to be drinking this.
Right, right. So when it came to marketing, Ginkgo's leaned into that rebellious angle by hiring graffiti artists to tag the brand name on walls near high schools and cafeterias in California. Not vandalism marketing.
I think this is genius.
It's brilliant.
I think this is so smart, especially because the logo is already graffiti.
Yes.
Like, it feels like guerrilla marketing.
Totally.
I doubt people picked up on the fact that the brand had enlisted someone to do that, because it probably just looked like cool graffiti. I mean,
yeah, it's meant to be kind of subliminal, right?
Yes, bring that back. That's so cool to me.
I hear you. They also started handing out samples at skate parks and were sponsors at extreme sporting events. They'd send free pairs to DJs and surfers and bikers. At one point, they even hired breakdance troops to perform at raves wearing Genkos, which I don't know how you're breakdancing in a Genko, but best of luck to you. Okay, totally. Just fanning the entire fucking dance floor. So Genkos were also beloved by skaters, obviously, for more practical reasons. You could wear them over your bulky knee pads and rollerblades at the skate park. Brilliant.
Because mm-hmm. you want to be safe, but you don't want everyone to know that you're wearing knee pads.
Right, you're still a rebel.
Yes, you can't
you're
be
so
out
dangerous.
Here. Exactly. You can't have a helmet on, but you definitely need those knee pads.
Right.
By 1995, Genko's sales were reported at $36 million. And by 1998, they boasted around $200 million in revenue. At their height, Genkos accounted for 10% of all of Pacific Sunwear's sales.
Okay, oh, yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is.
But despite their seemingly overnight success, Genko's days were numbered.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 which is why they're a topic on this podcast. That is because while the kids loved them, adults hated them. Some schools even went so far as to ban Genkos. Okay, wait a second. It's giving Pogs.
Wait,
shout out
Fran,
to our Pogs episode.
Go listen to the Pogs episode. Same thing. But what was the rationale behind their jeans, their fashion? Why were they trying to ban them?
Okay, well, we talked about this earlier. We talked about those sagging pants. Administrators maintained that Genko's extra wide legs were a safety hazard, as students were prone to tripping over them. Some argued that kids could even hide weapons in the cuffs or in those super deep pockets.
I mean, listen, listen.
If you want to bring a weapon into school,
you know what I'm saying.
You have
a whole backpack. Why are you going to put it under?
A locker, and this was before we were doing the
before Columbine and all that bullshit.
Exactly. So this was before they were doing metal detectors in school. That
right.
feels like a throwaway. But I will say the kids falling. I definitely remember kids falling up the stairs and those things. You would step on them.
My mind went to like teeth. We talked about veneers in an episode recently. Mm-hmm. You need a whole rack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You slip and fall in those motherfuckers. Yeah. Take your whole front row out.
Your parents be pissed. What I give those races for, damn it. So the other challenges Genko faced, copycats. Once they took off, suddenly everyone was coming out with a wide leg pant. Even worse, counterfeit Genkos started popping up, which is something I would probably buy.
same.
Right? And that just ended up eating away at the company's profits. But the final death blow came from oversaturation. The pants became so popular that ultimately they became uncool. And that's especially true for brands that present themselves as being part of the counterculture. While in the early days, you could only find Genkos at a handful of cool stores like Hot Topic and Ron John Surf, by the early 2000s, they were in JCPenney and Sears. Not cool. Mm-mm. Not cool. You can't claim to be part of the counterculture brand and everybody's wearing your clothes.
Yeah. It's hard because it's like you want to be successful, but you don't want to be too successful.
Right, right. You need to be niche and you need to be cool. But JCPenney and Sears are so far from it. Like, that's when I got a job. I got a job when I was 14 because my mom was like, we're going to JCPenney and Sears. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to the Gap.
Oh, so the threat of having to shop there made you get in line.
My mom's a black mom. So she was like, you can get a job. That's what she said to me. And I was like,
you got Django's money? You got Django's money?
Shoot, you got Gap money? You know she did. You know she did.
You better fall into a job.
Hell, dead. You put a boulder. You know she would say something like that. You know that's a black mom for you. Oh my God, dead. So when Hot Topic decided to stop carrying the brand, their merchandise manager Cindy Leavitt explained the reasoning in a 2000 interview with the LA Times as, "You still see Jenko's at Ray's, but it's a little too uncool for our customer. It's at too many doors in the mall."
I mean, it's also really funny because Hot Topic, where you at now? No, you know, I mean, you still exist, but the girls aren't going to Hot Topic like they were.
Push back if you want to, but was Hot Topic ever cool?
Well, again, I think it's the counterculture of it all. They were always targeting a very specific, you know, the kids, the goth kids that were wearing that the eye makeup and even like the South Park t-shirts and like all of the band shirts and you know, a chain on
piercings.
Yeah. Exactly. Like they were very much like, if everybody's wearing Abercrombie, we are doing the exact opposite.
Yes.
So you're right, but it's also just so interesting that they were all in on JNCOs, and then they're like, no, now too many people are selling JNCOs, so we don't want to do it anymore. JNCOs tried to rebrand by making khakis, shoes, and eventually marketing to teen girls. Now, let me tell you, the girls were wearing JNCOs at my school.
Really?
With a little camisole, with a little cropped cami.
Ooh.
And showing a little thong, a little
like up on the hip thong,
a little peek of the thong over the JNCOs.
This is why shit gets banned, because kids are fucking hit not the underwear like that.
Oh, it was scandal, and oh my God, it was just so hot. Like, it was just so cool. It felt forbidden. It's sexy. It was like the skater of it all. I definitely remember a lot of girls wearing that stuff. But unfortunately, by the mid-2000s, it was just too late. Wide leg baggy jeans were out, and instead, drawstring and cargo pants were in. Kids didn't want that grunge skate aesthetic. Now it was all about preppy cool and polo and Tommy Hilfiger.
You know, remember? I have a theory.
Yeah.
I have a theory that when Kurt Cobain died, that's when grunge went out. I mean, I'm joking. May he rest.
I think that's kind of like profound.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. I think you're right. I was going to say, when I think Tommy Hilfiger, I think of Aaliyah wearing that little Tommy tube top.
That was a good brand relationship.
Here's what's really interesting is they didn't make that tube top. Her stylist cut it into a tube top, and it was so popular that Tommy Hilfiger was like, yo, we got to fucking put out a tube top. And then they started putting out tube tops.
Wow. Yo, black people do it all. Yo, come on.
We change culture. That was the look.
I mean, was that in the Somebody video? Tell me about Somebody.
Well, she had a tube top in that one. It wasn't a Tommy Hilfiger one, but I think it was like a red carpet or something.
Oh, she was just caught on camera
wearing it. I don't think it was in the video, but that was her look, was the tube top with the cargo pants.
Oh.
And they were baggy with like a little boxer.
Yes.
Which is like, girl, why are you wearing boxers? but was the vibe.
It's the early pick me. It's the early like, I'm a cool girl.
She really was.
May she rest.
So cool. Rest in peace, Aaliyah. So Pacific Sunwear, which previously could not keep JNCOs on the shelves, were forced to slash prices from $58 down to a measly $29.99.
Wow.
By 2001, Revitex, which is JNCOs' parent company, closed their LA factory and moved the remaining production abroad. And by 2003, the Reva brothers had all but stepped away from the company.
And in 2019, JNCOs attempted to come back, back, it was spearheaded by Milo Rava's daughter, Camila. Instead of offering the super wide leg that people tripped over, they offered a more reasonable 20-inch leg. In recent years, the ultra-wide leg have, this is so surprising to me, Fran, because I've noticed it as well, they've really come back. Yeah. Stars are wearing them, Rihanna's been seen wearing them, Justin Bieber, and FKA Twigs, yo, I can't even say this woman's name.
It's FKA, formerly known as.
Oh my God. Not princing it over here.
Yes, because she got, there was somebody else named Twigs. And so she had to change her name. No. And there was some other artist named Twigs. So she just changed her name to FKA Twigs.
FKA Twigs. I guess it makes sense. It's just been popping up at music festivals, these big ass pans, but nothing compares to the mid 90s Genko's boom. I want to just take a second to sidebar about this FKA Twigs because I am old and I didn't know who this person was. So I was like, let me go to YouTube and watch some of
her music
stuff.
Is weird. Her music is weird.
Fran, I watched this. It was a 4-minute, 21-second video. The first minute is this woman just walking in a coat. And I was so mad.
Her stuff is very experimental and kind of like, what's the word? It's like electronica, but it's really like, it almost sounds like you're like, is this a collect call? Like, why does the connection sound so like,
yeah, it's like conceptual. It's very conceptual.
It's called ambient. Ambient is the style. And so it's a lot of like weird, like, bells and dings, and it's, and like when she's singing, she's like,
I was like, because she's giving like the look of her, I was like, oh, she looked like Tyla, right?
Yeah,
but I was like, that, well, that's not Tyla. But she's also dancing on a pole in this video. It's for her cellophane video, which I was like, I started drooling. I mean, I was like, I hated it, and I was drooling.
Yeah, so she's very into the like performance art type of stuff. So like the pole dancing, like she does that in concert and does these like really intricate. I mean, it's not my type of music. It definitely is not the type of stuff I would listen to. But I think there's like one song of hers that I like. But yeah, it's just not my vibe. But I will say what I like about her is like, it feels really authentic to her. I feel like sometimes these artists come, they're like, I'm weird. And you're like, no, you're just trying way too hard. I think she's just weird.
Yeah, she's very, who's the one who wore the swan around her neck? What's her name?
Yes, Bjork.
Bjork. She's very Bjork. Yeah.
I love
some Bjork.
I love me some Bjork.
Wait, Fran. So the wide leg pant is back, but I've only seen them. I've seen you wear them with like a high waisted and then it's a wide leg. But
these pictures. I have a bell bottom, but I don't have anything like this. I think you were going to mention these pictures in the doc.
Yeah, class. We're looking at a picture of Rihanna. They're still low waisted pants, and they're kind of frayed at the bottom. You know that style, but they're huge denim pants. They don't look very heavy as she's wearing them.
No,
but I think that would be cute as a high waisted thing too. But it might be too much covering of your body, huh? Just like proportion wise.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I like a high when high waisted became the thing, I was so happy because the low rise is just not flattering on my body. But yeah, I do think you kind of need to pick one trend and then like work around it. Like you can't do all of the things. It can't be high waisted and a bell bottom and a crop. Like it can't be all the things. You do like less is more, you know?
Right, right. But Justin Bieber's also in here and he's wearing like a heart sweatshirt. And you know, Justin Bieber's like a perpetual twink. So like he looks like a skater with these big pants and they're working for him. He looks very, you know, skatery, sexy.
Yeah, he is actually wearing Jenko's. There was another picture that had the logo on there. And they are making a comeback of sorts. Again, they are not as ubiquitous.
I'm so proud of you. Thank you.
Oh my God. Your face was like a kid in a candy store. Oh my God. Well, don't get too excited because that's the one time you get, and I'm not doing it again. They don't look as, they're not as like extreme as they used to be. So again, they are trying to come back, but the reality is they're in no way ever going to compare with their 90s heyday. So now that we've gone over the history of JNCOs, it's time for us to fix it. But first, let's take a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And we are back. Delon, would you like to go first?
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, class, if we've learned nothing from all these, you know, dare I say, failed brands we've talked about on Let Me Fix It, pivot while you grow, right? Ooh. Because I mean, I'm not like a merchandise business person. I'm the CEO of, you know, DeLon Artist Extraordinaire, right? So like, what do I know about merchandising? But it just seems to me that like, so all the huge brands we've talked about, Kodak and Blockbuster, like none of them seem to have pivoted at the right time. So I feel like Genco, they should have just like, stepped on another trend, you know, become a conglomerate, hop on the cargo pant if they like could foresee that. But I also think like buy up another company. At one point you said, Fran, they had like $146 million.
Yeah.
Buy up like a smaller boutique brand so that you can like start building, I don't know, t-shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think one of the ways that they could have pivoted, and I think that would have really worked really well, is accessories never go out of style. So hats, glasses, shoes, socks, mittens, gloves, you know? but I also think like, why didn't they come out with like headphones? I don't know, just something, a way to pivot while they were building, while they reached that.
Headphones would have been so smart since they were doing like the skater.
Exactly.
DJs. That would have been really smart.
Well, and also like skaters are I don't care if you're fucking in East LA or whatever, skaters are wearing like a winter hat and I don't get it because it's not winter.
Right, but they even were like, yes, and LA with one of those fuzzy hats
with the flops on it, and I'm like, it's hot as it's 80 degrees, bro, and you're riding a skateboard. You know what I mean? But like, I think that would have been a nice pivot for them.
I really like the headphones thing because remember when I was in high school, I remember there was a trend of the big headphones and you would just wear them around your neck.
Like it was
just an accessory.
That reminds me of Brittany Murphy in Clueless, the guy that she was into, like that guy, you know, that like she was like, he would always have like his skateboard and those big headphones on.
That was the look. Yeah, that would have been really smart. My fix would be the fact that the pants kind of looked like a skirt. I think they should have gone for it and done skirts.
Yes.
Especially now, I actually bought a denim skirt recently and it's so cool. It's so chic. It's like a fishtail version. So it's like tight around my butt. And then at the bottom, it like bells out. It's so cool. And so like, what if there was like taking old JNCOs and repurposing, like cutting them up and sewing them back together into skirts?
Love
like,
that.
So it kind of is like vintage, but it's also like tapping a new market because they really tried to expand into girls' jeans. And I think it was a little too late to your point, but coming back, you know, again, the Y2K fashion of it all, like everybody loves revisiting that era, but I think kind of giving us a new spin on it would be really interesting, especially because I can't tell you how many videos I've seen on TikTok where like Gen Zers are like, I got this vintage express top at Goodwill. And I'm like, vintage express?
Oh my God. It is,
but it's
just
vintage.
It is. I mean, to them, it's old to them, you know? But there are like a handful of express stores that I still see nowadays. But when I do see one, I'm like, oh, she's still alive.
I know.
You know, so it's a dinosaur.
I feel like they have the restaurant hostess market cornered. There's a black pant and a white top.
No, I love that fix. I love that fix because it's also environmentally friendly, you know?
Yes.
It asks more of your artistry, I think, too. I really dig that. I wish I sewed and I like had the forethought to do something
still,
like that.
You know what? You could still get into it. There's time.
Girl, what time? You know, how many projects do I can't even finish?
That's fair.
You
know. That's fair.
So Jenkos, did we fix it? Let us know on our Instagram at fixitpod or email us at letmefixitpod@gmail.com, friends.
Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we give props to those who've turned themselves around without our help. Dawn, can I go first?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I kind of signaled it in my introduction, but I'm giving a glow up this week to myself because something that you and I have talked about is needing to pivot and figuring out what's going on. Hollywood is crumbling. What are we doing? And I want to give a shout out to my friend Amber Wallen, who asked me to do some graphic design work for her recently. And I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that. She's like, you know, I know you, you know, you're looking for extra work. I'll throw you some coins. I had so much fun working on this project. I was like, oh my God, I forgot how much I love design. And I actually got a few DMs from people that said, you know, you always say former graphic designer on Let Me Fix It, but you're still a graphic designer. And I was like, that's true. Like, I still
go ahead, class. Let her know. Tell her.
So I had such a good time working on it. I turned it into a little video and I said, hey, if you want someone to do graphic design work for you, I'm here. I did a little outreach to some friends of mine. And I have a few people who are like, actually, yes, I need someone to design a deck for a pitch that I'm doing. I'm like, I love a deck. I love a deck.
She does love it.
I really do. And so it's been so fun to just like revisit that part of myself. And so, yeah, hopefully this is inspiring to anybody that has creative passions that maybe they've put aside. I think oftentimes as creative folks, when one thing starts paying your bills, you start focusing on that thing and maybe you forget that there are other parts of your creative toolbox that you can explore. And so I'm really excited to keep playing with this. And a few people have even asked me to do a Photoshop class online. And I was like, you know what?
Amazing.
I was like, I could do a Photoshop class. So stay tuned, class, because real classes are coming soon.
I love that. I love that for you because like you do this work all the time. Like you do it in small increments. You do it for the podcast. You do it for your own social media stuff. And so like you should be making more coin from it. Because like you said, not only is it easy for you, but you really enjoy it. And what's that old adage? Do the thing that you enjoy the most, right? And we as artists.
And you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
Yes. All right, what's your glow up?
So mine is something we've kind of talked about on the pod before, but it's meeting IRL in real life. So, friend, you're someone who I think is trying to do this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I know it's true.
Oh, you mean with dating?
With dating, yes, okay. Yes. I guess like meeting people, anyone, associates, friends in real life, but yes, specifically when it comes to dating. I know that you've signed up for events and gone to events for, speed dating things, and you've even sent some my way.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get me on the trend, as it were. And I'm working with some Gen Zers right now, and a lot of them are not on the apps. Mm-hmm. And like they're either like using dating apps less or just like rejecting them altogether. And I'm seeing an increasing number of people in my own social circles also being like, you know, it's too much. It's too much.
Scam.
It's a part-time job. I mean, talk about scam, girl. Listen, we're friends with Lacey mostly. Like, we should be like, girl, where's the scam goddess of it all? Because Hinge is being sued by six people.
Exactly.
Class, the app Hinge is being sued. And I think by the owners of Tinder might be sued as well.
It's a class action lawsuit. And it basically alleges that these dating apps are predatory and that they are, you know, they don't show you genuine matches unless you pay for the app. And there's a lot of bots on the apps. And they're essentially keeping you on there in order to just make money off of you instead of actually. Because think about it. If you meet somebody on the app, you're going to delete the app. You're going to be like, okay, I don't need this anymore.
And the grand irony is Hinge's motto is the app designed to be deleted, right?
Right. Which is a very cute marketing thing.
It's good branding. Like, sign me up.
But it's not authentic.
No, because, I mean, listen, full transparency. I mean, when am I not transparent? I will go back to the app every 3 months, Hinge specifically, because that's the one that I feel like has the best prompts and the most engagement and whatever. But every time I go back to the point of the conversation, the point of this lawsuit, they have a new way to get my money. They're like, oh, do you want to send a rose? Oh, you got to buy an extra rose.
Yes.
Or you like to see these matches, you actually have to like be a premium member.
And they and always like, do that thing where they show you like, here are your most compatible people. And you're like, I'm interested in these people. And then it's like, you got to buy a rose to talk to them. But then those people don't come up in your feed. It's a bunch of like weirdos in your feed. And you're like, but how do I get these hotties over here? And they're like, and then I have bought a rose. I've been off the dating apps for about 2 years now. But whenever I bought a rose, the person didn't respond. Ever. So I was like, what was the point? And the rose is like $2.99.
I know. Well, listen, and when not for nothing, but like when I get a rose, generally I'm like, I'm not interested. Oh. So like you wasted $3 on both ends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know how they figure out like, oh, this is who you're compatible with. So well, yeah.
I mean, the algorithm is the devil. You know, they mess with some stuff in there to get your money. Mm-hmm. So the point of it is I want to give it up for my glow up to meeting in real life. I'm going to try to do this more. I'm trying to be brave and like, you know, just go up and talk to some people at a bar or maybe an event. So we're out here trying.
Oh, I'm proud of you, friend. And I'm wishing you all of the best. All right, friends, now we want to hear from you. What are the fashion trends from yesteryear that you think should make a comeback? Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celebrity, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode. Hit us up on Instagram at fixitpod or email us letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. Listen, I'm DeLong.
And I'm Francesca. And this was I feel like we're playing an improv game, like trying to say it at the same time.
But we're going in whole hog. We're like committed to like landing
and
together.
Been a little bit of a delay. So I was like, am I delayed? Am I? Okay, wait, let's start again. Okay, ready?
Okay.
I'm Francesca.
And I'm DeLon. And this was Let Me Fix It.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.